الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سورة أنزلناها وفرضناها وأنزلنا عليهم آيات بينات لعلكم تذكرون وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أملك عليك لسانك ولسعك بيتك وابكي على خطيئتك وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most honorable ulama ikram, beloved brothers and elders, all praises belong to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, our creator, our sustainer, our cherisher, our nourisher. Peace and salutations be upon our noble master, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no shadow of doubt that every one of us that is present today in this masjid would be well acquainted with the current situation that we as an ummah are facing. We take this opportunity on the auspicious occasion of Yawmul Jumu'ah and the congregation that is seated in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we turn our attention to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We beg of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, and we ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant victory to the Muslims in Palestine and in the whole world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Muslims victorious, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy the enemy of Islam. Really, any person with a spark of iman, in fact, even the person who doesn't have iman, when he hears and he understands and he sees the atrocities that are being meted out to the Muslims, there are also non-Muslims that are residing in Gaza, etc., then any person's heart would bleed. But a believer on an even higher note, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a very beautiful example of the type of relationship that the believers ought to share. Rasulullah sallam, mafhum of the narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to this effect, he said that a believer is like one body. Now look at the wisdom, the hikmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mentioned this previously as well. When we look at a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you look at the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, really, it is an insult for us as believers to look anywhere else. Every single hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so profound. It's filled with so much of wisdom, hikmah, benefit. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so beautifully puts it to us. He says that the believers are like one body. Gives the example of a body. And so apt is the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says to this effect that if the head pains, the whole body pains. If the eye pains, the whole body pains. And many of us, many a times we would have experienced this. Your head is paining, somebody say, come, you're going for a walk. You say, no, carry on my head. You don't walk with your head, you walk with your feet, your legs. But the effect of that pain in the head, it has an effect on the entire body. So that is the beautiful example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he's giving us. That yes, our Muslim brothers and sisters, wherever they may be, in whichever part of the world, their pain and their suffering, it affects us as well. We feel that same pain. So with that, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant victory. And as our ulama ikram have been advising, Hazrat Mufti Sahib also, we have heard his advices many a times, that what is the need of the hour for every Muslim? That we should make an effort to rectify ourselves. We should make an effort on an individual basis, that I perfect and make my ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right. If I will do that, inshallah, then we will enjoy the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ayat al-kareema which we recited in the khutbah, it's the opening verses of Surah Nur. The Quran al-kareem is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and every letter of Quran is Nur. Our Honorable Ustad Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib Damul Barakatuh explains very beautifully. He said when we recite the Quran al-kareem, then amongst the many intentions that we should make, one of the intentions is this, that Allah, Quran is Nur, and every letter of Quran is Nur. Allah, let your Nur penetrate my heart, so that the Nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala penetrates our heart. It is with this that we recite the Quran al-Kareem, that we become an embodiment of Quran. The Quran al-Kareem becomes our life. Like Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, so beautifully she explained when Rasulullah, when she was asked about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she would say, Kana khuluquhu al-Quran. In essence, what did she say? She said, if you want to know who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, then recite the Quran al-Kareem. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an embodiment of the Qur'an. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Qur'an al-Kareem, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the practical example of Kalamullah. There's many things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses in this particular surah. But for today's topic of discussion, I wish to narrate to you an incident that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alludes to in this particular surah. And there's many great lessons that we can take as an ummah from it. It's a famous incident. It is known as the incident of ifk, the incident of slander against our mother, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha wa arda. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha gives this account herself. She mentions this, she narrates this. The narration is in Bukhari Sharif as well. On the expedition of Bani Mustaniq, when Rasulullah SAW went on this particular expedition, it happened in the 50 of the Hijrah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was his way that he would take his honorable wives of Rasulullah sallam, and at times he had on different occasions he would take different wives, and sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would also draw lots. So as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala mentioned that on this occasion it was her turn, and when the names were drawn, it was her turn, and she accompanied Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this journey. So it's a very interesting incident. She says that, long and short of it, when the time came for the army to move on, or just a side point to mention here, that this particular expedition, there were two incidents which Qur'an al-Kareem makes reference to. One is this one which I'm mentioning to you today, and another is in the 28 juz of the Holy Qur'an, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the hypocrites, the munafiqeen. Here again, this is an incident with regards to the hypocrites and their mannerisms, their ways, their modus operandi, how they would interfere with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how they would trouble the Muslim ummah. And our ulama write and they say, amongst the many reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the ways of the hypocrites, one of the fundamental reasons is that we as believers, we should acquaint ourselves with their ways and we do the total opposite. We do the total opposite because we don't want to be associated with their ways in any way. How they would conduct themselves, how they would carry out their affairs, a Muslim does the total opposite. But nevertheless, as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she says, on this occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, her name was drawn and she accompanied Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the time came for the army now to depart, the time came for them to return and go back home, then she said that she had lost her necklace. She went to relieve herself, etc. And then she lost her necklace. So she went back to look for this necklace of hers. And it so happened that those Sahaba Ikram that were responsible for carrying her carriage, she said, I was very light in weight at that time. So they had assumed that she is already in the carriage. And the carriage, it continued, the caravan, the army, etc. continued and they moved on. So Rasulullah SAW had a Sahabi with the name of Hazrat Safwan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and it was his responsibility. He would come and, so to say, when the army moved on, see if everything was in order. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, you must understand, she's the mother of the believers, and Allah blessed her with an exceptionally lofty position. Just to put it into a bit of a context so that we can appreciate and understand the position of our honorable mother, 2,210 ahadith are narrated by Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. That is practically more than half of our deen. 2,200 ahadith is narrated by Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And on her blessed tongue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught the ummah about many of the personal, private interactions of Rasulullah SAW by virtue of example, how he would conduct himself in his home, how Rasulullah SAW would be as a husband, etc., in terms of his kindness, in terms of his compassion. All of this information is given to the ummah by the honorable wives of Rasulullah SAW, and many of this by Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. So her contribution to deen is that we will forever be indebted to every sahabi, but just to understand the lofty position of our honorable mother. 2,210 ahadith are narrated by her. So she was a very, very intelligent person. Allah Ta'ala blessed her with great wisdom. When she returns after finding her necklace, and we see her wisdom here once again, she realized and she thought and she that the army has moved on now. Let me rather stay initially, because normally when you lose something, the first point you start off is where you assume you had lost it. So this indicates to her intelligence. She waited at that point. And she mentions the Sahabi came, and the only interaction in terms of words that we had, when he seen me, because now he had recognized and realized me, because he had seen me, sources of hijab being revealed. Again, as I said, there's many lessons in this incident. This lesson or we take from here gives us the importance of hijab and the importance of a Muslim woman covering herself, and we find that that is a solution to many of the challenges that we face as an ummah today when proper hijab is practiced, etc. Nevertheless, he says that he had recognized me because he had seen me prior to these verses of hijab being revealed, etc. And he, this is the words that he said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajun." He let out this statement, meaning that he had now understood and realized what had happened. He lowered the conveyance, he got Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala on the conveyance, he traveled behind her, etc., and he joined her with the army. Now here is where the delicate part comes and the important lesson that we take. The leader of the hypocrites, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Munafiqin, the leader of the hypocrites, he used this opportunity. And some of the ulama ikram explain it like this. He created a rumor. But they say he created the rumor in such a way, he created a rumor that there was some illicit relationship between our mothers, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and Hazrat Safwan radiallahu ta'ala. It wasn't very clear in the way in which he did it. So this creates more doubt. Sometimes when somebody tells you something and they're clear with their words, then you understood what they said, and now you can decipher for yourself, and this person, is what he's saying doesn't make sense, or you can take it and you can run with it. But he just sort of let it sit in the hearts and minds of the people, and he moved on from there. So this is why they say one of the greatest crimes a Muslim can ever do is to subtly repeat a rumor that he heard, which damages the integrity and the honor of another Muslim. And as we go on in the verses of Quran, which Allah Ta'ala explains, so Allah Ta'ala tells us, and Allah Ta'ala himself teaches us how we deal with information when this information comes to us. So nevertheless, he touched on it and he left this in the hearts and the minds of the people. So Aisha Radhiyallahu says that for a while I was unwell, I was ill, I had fever. But she says that I did notice that there was a difference in the attitude of Rasulullah ﷺ towards me. Meaning Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam normally was very, very compassionate. But here he wasn't talking to me directly. More often than not, he was making a reference to me, or he was speaking about me, etc., in my presence. But I didn't think much of it. And she says on one night, on one occasion, she needed to leave the home and relieve herself. So she was going with a person by the name of Umme Mista. And as they were returning, Umme Mista, she tripped, she fell. And when this happened, she let out a statement and she said, "Ta'isa Mista, Ta'isa Mista, may Mista be cursed." Now look at the pure heart of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. What was her initial reaction to this? She said, "Oh Mista, Umme Mista, how can you make such a statement? How can you say something regarding Mista? Mista is a Badri Sahabi. And because on account of his occasion, of his participation in Badr, he holds a very lofty, how can you make such a statement?" So Umme Mista, she says to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, "You know, Aisha, aren't you aware? Don't you know what's happening? Are you not aware of your surroundings?" So look at the purity of our mother, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that for an entire month, Mufassirin say, or ulama say, for a long period of time, some period of time, that these rumors and these false accusations was going on in the town about her. But she was totally unaware of it. She wasn't even aware that people were saying this type of thing. And then Hazrat Umme Mista now brings her up to speed and now puts her into the picture of what's happening. She says that I lost it. I couldn't take it. I was overcome by my emotions, and I sought the permission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go to the home of my mother. She says, when I come to the home of my mother, I inquire from my mother. Again, the first thing that she does, she says, "Oh, my mother, tell me, does Rasulullah SAW know about this also? That this rumor that people, this was her concern." And then her mother tries to comfort her, and her mother tells her that, "Oh, my daughter, don't worry. When a woman is of very good nature, and she's very pretty, and this type of things, then people out of jealousy, they'll make this type of rumors." And so her mother tries to comfort her. But obviously, this is not a small thing, it's a very, very big thing. One man's statement, one utterance from one person, and look at the effect that it has. That for an entire month, the entire Medina Munawwara is in total disarray. Meaning that it's caused harm in the greatest home, and that is the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard this, and now this information is in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he does some inquiries. He asks Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, and again, we learn so much from the companions of Rasulullah and their purity of heart, the the clean hearts that they had. Hazrat Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu ta'ala anha, one of the wives, honorable wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala makes specific mention of this. And she says that I recognize the manner in which she conducted herself. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her that, what is your opinion on Aisha? What is your opinion on Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha? Now, this as an opportunity to not necessarily badmouth Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, but she could have said some ambiguous words if she wanted to. This was a golden opportunity. And many times we are faced with this opportunity, with this. You want to curry some favor in the eyes of somebody very big. Maybe it's your boss, or maybe it's whoever it may be. You want to curry some favor. So against somebody else, you may not speak ill of them, but you'll put some doubt, or you'll put it in such a way now that that person starts to think. She was so clear in her words. She said, O Nabi of Allah, we only know Aisha to be a good woman. We only know goodness of her. We only know her to be a chaste and a pious woman. So this is a great lesson that we learn from the companions. That when the opportunity arises, we only speak good of people. We keep the honor and the izzat of a Muslim. So khair. Nabi Salam asked different Sahaba Ikram also. He gets different opinions, etc. But time is running out. Eventually, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it reaches a point where even in the masjid, Nabi Salam addresses the matter. And then you find the different groups of Sahaba Ikram also. This started creating a bit of discord amongst them as well. But again, the point to highlight here is one man's utterance, one man's incorrect usage of his tongue. This is why Rasulullah SAW and the Sahabi asked him, O Nabi of Allah, man naja, in what lies our salvation? Rasulullah SAW said to him, Amlik alayka lisanak. You take control of your tongue. You must be in control of your tongue. Will utter what this tongue will say. Can either be, as we learn from many ahadith and we learn from different narrations of Rasulullah SAW, it will be a means of a person's eternal Jannah or a person's eternal doom. Just on a few utterances, may Allah Ta'ala protect all of us and give us the ability to take control of our tongue. Amlik alika lisanak. So she says, or rather Nabi Sallallahu then comes to the home of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now imagine this, the relationship that was shared between Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In the whole ummah, you won't get another relationship like that. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam expressed it to us like this. He said, Ma nafa'ani malu ahadin, ma nafa'ani malu Abi Bakr, o kama qal. And many different other narrations like this, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to this effect, that he cannot repay, and he cannot basically, the favors and the khidmat and the service that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu had rendered to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can never begin to even pay it back, nor can we begin to even understand what was the level of this relationship between Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, that goes beyond the relationship of being father-in-law and son-in-law and sharing those type of relationships. Now Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to come into the home. He has to sit with Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is present. Again, I'm sort of hitting on this one point over and over again. One man's utterances, one man's words, one man's venom from his tongue. And look at the damage that it causes in Madinah Munawwara. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says to her, that, O Aisha, if you had made a mistake, then say you made a mistake, Allah will forgive you, you seek forgiveness, you turn to Allah. And if you are free from this accusation, then say that you are free and explain to us and tell us. She says, I was so overcome with emotion that I had no answer. I didn't know what to say to Rasulullah, because she said, if I had to say that I did this, then this won't be right, because I didn't do it. And if I had to say that I didn't do it, nobody's going to believe me. So she said, at that time, I expressed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I will say to you what the father of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said. She said, at that time, I even slipped my memory and my mind the name of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. And then she says that I never ever thought for a moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal revelation in my favor. And you can remember in the beginning I said to you, with regards to her lofty position, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals 10 ayat of Quran, showing us the purity and the chastity of our honorable mother, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the verses, which shows that whatever these hypocrites had to say was a total lie, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself defends Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So few important things and then we'll terminate. Our time is already up. From this we learn that we're living in an age of information. Every day you're getting different types of information, whether it be via WhatsApp or via whatever different form that it is. The least we can use all of this, the better for us. But it is important and imperative how we deal with and what we do with this information, especially more so when it deals with an individual, because the honor and the integrity of every Muslim has to be honored at every time. Here this verses of Quran teaches us that when we get information, the first thing we ought to do is we ought to verify that information. But better we're living in a time where we rather, the more we can stay away and not get involved with other people's business, the better for us. The more we can concentrate and worry about what Allah Ta'ala wants from me and how I can rectify myself and better myself in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the better for me. And when you hear something about any person, Quran tells us this, that the first thing we ought to say is, no, I don't think that is true and I can't believe something like that. Better, you're safer. You're safer, you won't be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding, because you never got involved in it. Somebody told you, and today it's so often, this person did zina, that person stole here, not our business. That person did the receiver down, that person did this one. Well, not away from it, we don't get involved in it. You'll sleep better also because you don't know other people's problems. Today we're not sleeping properly, people got 101 issues because we're worrying more about somebody else's issues. So these are a few important lessons that we can learn from this particular surah. Our time is already up, there's so much more to learn. But I think the important take-home message is, especially in this particular community, you are very, very fortunate. You have so many ulama, sit in the company of the ulama and benefit from them, especially with regards to the message of Quran. Daily, the tafsir of Quran takes place in this masjid as well. Our ulama are saying that it is a need of the hour and the time that we connect ourselves to Kalamullah in every regard. What Allah is telling us, what is the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recitation of Quran. So connect ourselves to the ulama, you will be rightly guided. And connect ourselves to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.